welcome to Encore. Encore is Near FM's Highlights of the Week programme. And on this week's edition, John Healy is joined on Northside Today by Donna Corcoran of the Citizens Information Service, where they chat about home renovation grants. Later, George Mulcahy is joined on Lifeline by Father Peter McVerry from the Peter McVerry Trust, and Teresa, a young mum of two children. This is an excerpt from Monday's Lifeline, where they discussed the homeless crisis in Dublin. And finally, Michael Sullivan is joined on Northside Today by Corina Fitzsimons from Dogs Trust, where they chat about this year's Christmas campaign, asking people to think when deciding if they want a dog for Christmas. First, on this week's edition of Encore, it's John Healy on Northside Today.
Now, I want to welcome to studio Donna Corcoran from Citizens Information. Good afternoon, Donna.
Afternoon, John.
And we're going to talk about home renovation grants.
Yes, I've got three different, sort of heat-related schemes here, thinking of the cold weather.
Very topical at the moment.
Very topical for today, yes. So the first one, probably the most basic one, is the Better Energy Warmer Home Scheme. And this covers anybody who is on low income, social welfare payment, but also if you get the fuel allowance or family income supplement. So there's a lot of people out there working, have FIS. It would include you. If you're getting job seekers for more than 6 months and you have a child under seven, or you're on the one parent family. So anyone who thinks they might be in that category, if you're living in your house was built before 2006, you would be entitled to this work done free. So they insulate the attic. They can draft proof your windows and doors. It's, you know, putting in the sealants. You get free lagging jacket for your immersion tank, some low energy light bulbs. If possible, your cavity wall could be insulated, and you get energy advice. And I know my mum had these people out recently, and she has solid walls in her house, so they couldn't do the insulation.
Yeah.
So all they're doing for is, well, not all, we're grateful anyway, the attic insulation and the draft proofing a few doors and windows for her. So it's totally free. As I say, it's if you're on any social welfare, if you're on the social welfare schemes that I listed, or getting FIS or one parent family. There is a phone number, 1890 250 204, and before I finish, I'll come back and give that to you again if anyone thinks they might be interested. The work is guaranteed for 2 years. As I say, there is no charge. It's covered under the Better Energy Warmer Homes Scheme. That's out a good few years. Possibly a lot of people have availed it at this stage, but maybe you weren't entitled to it at the time. So that's why I'm bringing it up today. Maybe you're on Job Seekers now and it's gone past 6 months, or you only got the fuel allowance this year. So it might apply to you now. So that's the first one. The second one, to cut down your heating energy bills, is the Better Energy Home Scheme. They sound very similar. This is why people get a bit confused. These are grants that are paid to you. So basically, you end up getting the work done and then applying to get the grant back. So you get some of the money back. This is also low available to landlords. So if you're in rented accommodation and you think something could be done with the heating bill's too high, insulation, etc., you can mention it to your landlord. They can apply and they can get this grant also. This is through the SEAI, Sustaining Energy Authority of Ireland. So grants are available for roof insulation, wall insulation, upgrading your heating controls. You might need a new high efficiency boiler installation or solar heating. So it's all to do with eco, really, and reducing the energy that we use.
I mentioned landlords. Sorry, Donna. Landlords can get that. Is this means tested, this particular one?
No. This one, no. Only the first one is sort of it's not means tested, but it's related to your income because you're on a social welfare payment. Okay. Number two and number three that I'm going to talk about are, is anybody can get these. They're nothing to do with your salary or income. No, okay. Absolutely not. So the grants are available for a certain type of work, as I say, roof insulation, wall insulation. If you're changing your boiler's on the way out and you need to get a new one, if you've got a new high energy efficient one, or you decide to put solar panels, solar heating in. So again, you must own the house and it must have been built before 2006. That's the same with the first one. So at least, 10, 12 years old. You must use a contractor from their Sustaining Energy's registered list. So you can't get Jimmy Joe down the road who's handy. You must get a registered fitter. There's lists on their website. These people are all tax compliant and they can stand over the materials that they use. And that's why there's a registered list. So you go onto the website. You pick a registered contractor in your area. You contact him, arrange to have the works done. He fills in some paperwork for you to get this grant back. The grants qualifying for the maximum grant for the attic is €300. So I don't know, it might cost you €600 now to get your attic insulated. €600 or €800, you can get €300 back. For the insulation of the walls, there's a maximum of €4,500 for your external wall insulation that you can get back. So also then you can get a BER energy rating done after that. So that's Sustaining Energy Ireland, 1850 927 000. So I'll come back to that phone number again. Again, that's open to anybody.
Yeah.
And the last one is slightly different. This is the Home Renovation Incentive Scheme, which has been it came out in a budget a couple of years ago. It was due to end last year. They extended it. And happily, they've extended it again until December 31st, 2018. So you have next year to think about this. So if you were thinking of repairing, renovating or improving any works in your house, you must be a taxpayer for this.
Yeah.
One of you must be paying tax. But it covers painting, decorating, rewiring, tiling, changing your kitchen, extending your kitchen, extensions in the back, your garage, plumbing, upgrading your bathroom, your window replacement or attic conversions. There's a good list there on the website. And you get to claim the VAT back on it, up to a certain limit as well. Obviously, you must have been paying tax over the last 2 years and you can claim it back. So it's quite handy, you know. Qualifying expenditure, it goes up to a maximum of 30,000. So if you're getting your kitchen changed or your bathroom and one of you is working and you're paying tax this year and you paid tax last year, you should certainly look into that. Again, they have to be certain contractors that are tax compliant to get this back, because it's through revenue. And that's open to anybody, obviously. Oh, sorry, anyone who's a taxpayer.
Right, we'll go back to the phone numbers.
Yeah. Certainly. The first one I was talking about, if you're getting fuel allowance, family income supplement, job seekers for the last 6 months, or one parent family, that is 1800 250 204. The second one I mentioned is where you pay for the work and then you apply and get a grant back. That's Sustaining SEAI, and that's 1850 927 000, or Sustaining Energy's website, www.seai. And then the last one is if you're working away and you're paying tax, or you might not be working right now, but you might have paid tax last year. You can look at the Home Renovation Incentive. That is online. That's on revenue.ie. And we also have booklets. If anybody wants to give me a call, we can post them out to you.
And the number for?
For ourselves, Citizen Information here in Northside, is 076 107 8190. Or if you want to contact anyone in the call centre, which is 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, 076 107 4000. If you want to come in and have a chat with us about anything, we're here upstairs in the Civic Centre on Bunratty Road in Coolock. We're here from 9 o'clock to 1 and then 1:30 to 4:30, Monday to Friday. You'll catch us in the outreaches. We're in Omni Park Shopping Centre on a Tuesday morning, and we're in Beaumont Hospital on a Thursday morning. Just as you're walking down towards the bank machine and the shop, we're in there on the right.
Right, so there was a lot of information there. It's 0761 078 190.
That's,
and it's
it,
a walk
John.
In. You don't need an appointment.
No, that's the beauty. We're there. Obviously, we can't predict how busy we might be. Sometimes you may have to wait 10, 15 minutes. It's never usually more than 20 minutes. But it's a walk in service, yes.
And the outreach, we just mentioned about the outreach as well. If the information isn't available there on the day, when you come back to the office, you'll contact the people.
Yes, it's happened to me in Beaumont. I haven't had a couple of forms somebody's wanted for. I'll take their name and address and post it to them when I get in. And we can do that in Omni as well, or ring you back later on that afternoon with something if we don't have it to hand. So absolutely, anything on your mind, come and have a chat with us.
Okay, Donna, thanks very much for that.
You're
welcome. Always very interesting.
And that was John Healy, who was joined on Northside Today by Donna Corcoran of the Citizens Information Service. Next on this week's edition of Encore, George Mulcahy is joined on Lifeline by Father Peter McFerry from the Peter McFerry Trust, and Teresa, a young mum of two children. This is an excerpt from Monday's Lifeline, where they discussed the homeless crisis in Dublin. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined now live in the studio by Father Peter McFerry from the Father Peter McFerry Trust. Great to have you in, Father Peter. Teresa Dorman, who is a mum with two children.
Twin boys, three and a half.
Aisling Hedeman from the North Dublin Bay Housing Crisis Community. And also to my colleague, Colin Fogarty. Could I just start with you, Father Peter, and the Father Peter McFerry Trust. Can you tell us, first of all, where you're based and perhaps a little bit about the history of the Trust?
Well, the Trust started back in the 1970s when I was working in the inner city, and I came across a 9-year-old kid sleeping on the street. So we had a number of, we were working with young people in the inner city. We had a number of services. We had a youth club. We had a craft centre where they could make lovely crafts and sell them and make a few bob legally for themselves. And we had employment schemes going. And then this 9-year-old kid sleeping on the street. So we said, let's get a house and let's open a little hostel for a few kids like him. So we did that. And then the problem just began to snowball. The numbers grew and grew. The kids got older and we had to get hostels for different age groups. And then the drug problem hit Dublin and we had to get a detox centre. Then we had to get drug-free hostel accommodation for those who had finished the detox. So one thing just led to another. So today we have 15 hostels all over Dublin and one in Newbridge. We have about 200 apartments where we can give a homeless person the key of the door and say, this is yours for the rest of your life. You never have to become homeless again. We have two drug treatment centres and we have a drop-in centre and we have a youth cafe. And that all came, in a way, by accident. It wasn't planned. It just developed organically from opening a hostel for a 9-year-old kid who was sleeping on the street.
I'm also delighted to say that both Colm and myself are joined by a mum of two children, two boys, both aged three and a half, the twins, obviously. Teresa, just talking to you before we began this conversation, can you tell people how many times you've been moved?
Well, basically, I only came homeless in the last 5 months.
Okay.
I've been moved 25 times. Could have been more than that.
Yeah.
That's how far.
25?
Basically from hotel to B&Bs, the hostels, some nights on the street, staying in police stations, and it's just disgraceful. They moved me Halloween day, couldn't go trick-or-treating with my kids because I was moving. My kids were disappointed, heartbreaking.
Just to mention that the main topic this morning is children in emergency accommodation. And 25 movements in 5 months. If there is a typical day in your life, Teresa, I can't imagine there is,
But if there is, what is that typical day like?
Just moving, getting kids to school, going to my little cleaning job, collecting the kids from school. If I can't get to work, do a 2-hour cleaning job, drop my kids to school, go straight to work, collect my kids straight from work, go back to the hostel, bring them out for something to eat. Some places you can't cook, you have to go out day, buy food, it costs us a fortune. Travel allowance, moving us from Dunleary, Sutton, it's just madness.
And can I ask about the effect on your children? Because this is arguably the most important part of their lives as far as psychological development is concerned. This is where they get to meet other kids.
Yeah.
They need space to play. Mm-hmm. They need things, toys to call their own.
Well, basically, they have none of that. They have nothing. Basically, they want you to stay in this one room, the three of us, cramped in a room. You're not allowed to go into other people's room. There's no sit room. Basically, if I collect them from school, I try bring them to playgrounds to give them a bit of freedom. But their heads is that messed up that it's just unbelievable. When I was in my rent accommodation, I had them down every night at 8:30. Now I'd be lucky to get them down at 12 o'clock at night because of being moved that many times. Their routine has just gone out the window.
Can I talk about your present situation? What is your present situation?
Well, basically,
or do you have one?
I haven't really. I don't really know where I stand now. I don't know where I am. I'm in townhouse on Lower Gardner Street. I don't know if it's permanent or what. Been trying to get me in touch with my key worker the last week and I haven't heard nothing back. I go to Parkgate Street every day, Monday to Friday. They're telling me to stop going down there because there's nothing they can do. And I just keep telling them, you're going to see me every day till you start walking around the situation.
And Father Peter, is this story typical of Dublin in 2017?
Well, it's typical for about 1,000, 200 or 300 families who are currently homeless. If you include the number of families who were homeless and have now moved out of homelessness, we're probably talking about 3,000 or 4,000 families who have become homeless and have spent some time in hotels and B&Bs over the last few years. So it's something that is affecting a large number of families, and it is causing terrible problems. If you have a two-parent family, you're all living in one hotel bedroom, the tensions between the parents can grow to a point where the parents simply decide to separate. It's extremely stressful on the children. Children need security, they need routine, they need stability in their lives, and they don't have that. So they are, and they're becoming stressed out because, not just because of their situation, but because they see our parents stressed out. Yeah. One child reported hearing his mother going into the bathroom at night time when she thought he was asleep in order to have a cry so that he wouldn't hear her. It's extremely stressful on parents and on children. The children are being damaged. They're being damaged psychologically. They're being damaged emotionally. And they're being damaged educationally because you can't go to school and study if you're stressed out.
No.
And so these children could miss 18 months or 2 years really of school, and they may never ever catch up again with that. So this is causing enormous damage to families and to children, and some of that damage may be irreversible.
Would it be fair enough then, Father Peter, to call the current situation that we have a crisis?
I think it's gone beyond crisis.
Okay.
I think it's out of control. The Dublin City Council don't know what to do. They have often three families per day presenting as newly homeless. They have no accommodation for them. They tell them to go and find an hotel themselves. I mean, that is the pits, asking a family who have just become homeless, who turn up in the homeless service with all their belongings and their kids in tow, and ask them, you go and find an hotel bedroom that will give you a place for tonight, and we'll pay for it. And sometimes the only get a place for one night. And then the following day, they have to do the same thing all over again. We did help one family to find an hotel bedroom, but it took us 100 phone calls to get that hotel bedroom for this family. Imagine asking a family with their kids and all their belongings to have to do that themselves. It's out of control. There is no, they're simply managing, as you say, a crisis. Families are moved from hotel to hotel at very little notice. As you say, you could be moved from Dunleary to Sutton at short notice. You have all your bags, your children, your buggies. There's no, they don't give you any, they don't give you a van to transport your, you have to get taxis to transport all your belongings from Dunleary to Sutton. What's that going to cost you? That's going to cost you more money than you have. So children don't have any play, children, friends to play with because they're constantly on the move. It is absolutely outrageous. We are the 14th wealthiest country in the world, the highest economic growth in the EU. And we have this situation where families are sometimes unable to find an hotel bedroom even and are told to go with their children to a police station for the night. It's absolutely disgraceful.
Can I ask, Teresa, that fateful day 5 months ago when you found yourself homeless, was that for the first time?
I was homeless a few years ago.
Yeah, okay.
When basically my father was an alcoholic, my mum lives in England. But I didn't mind that, and then I just kind of went to accommodation and just walked up from there. But this situation is completely different because I have my twin boys, and it's just like you said, Peter, I do that sometimes. I go into the bathroom, I cry. Yeah. I look at my kids and say, like, they never asked for this. I didn't ask for the landlord to sell up. Why should they suffer?
And that was an excerpt from Monday's Lifeline, where George Mulcahy was joined by Father Peter McVerry from the Peter McVerry Trust and Teresa, who is a young mum of two. And finally, on this week's edition of Encore, Michael Sullivan is joined on Northside today by Corina Fitzsimons from Dogs Trust, where they discussed this year's Christmas campaign, asking people to think when deciding if they want a dog for Christmas.
Now, have any of you noticed mysterious paw prints around the city of Dublin? Well, I have Corina Fitzsimons from the Dogs Trust on, and she's going to tell me all about them. Good afternoon, Corina.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having us on.
Tell me all about these mysterious paw prints.
Well, this year for Christmas, Dogs Trust are asking people to please pause and think twice about getting a dog this Christmas. So we dotted these mysterious paw prints all around the city centre. I think we put down about 70, and we put down the hashtag pause for thought and let people...
I'm afraid we seem to be losing you there. I tell you what I'll do is I will try again and phone...
It's actually Dogs Trust.
You're back there now. Can you hear me?
Sorry, did I break up?
You did indeed.
Sorry, yeah. So we dotted the paw prints around Dublin City Centre and put a hashtag pause for thought because we wanted people to stop and wonder what the paws are about. And that's what we're asking people to do this Christmas, is to pause and think twice about getting a dog.
And tell me... how many dogs at Christmas are handed back, or I shouldn't say handed back. That's incorrect. Are discarded?
Well, we got 756 phone calls and email requests just in the 3 months after Christmas last year, and that was an increase of 58% on the previous year. So, unfortunately, quite a lot of dogs find themselves abandoned or looking for new homes after the Christmas aftermath because, unfortunately, people still rush in to buy them as gifts.
And in your experience, what seems to be the main reason that people, shall we say, discard the dogs after Christmas?
People can rush into things. It's especially easy nowadays to, you know, click and buy a dog online, and they don't give in some cases, enough thought to what it involves, like what dog ownership involves. It's like it's a huge commitment. And a lot of people don't simply have the time to be able to devote to a dog, give them the attention they need, the toilet training. And puppies, for example, like they chew and they'll pull on their lead and they'll bark at inappropriate times. And it's all part of growing up. But sometimes people take on dogs and they kind of expect them to be perfect and don't realise the hard work that, you know, you have to put into them, just like children. You have to teach them right from wrong and basically train them to be good dogs.
Now, I'll give you a bit of my own experience. When I was growing up, we had dogs from time to time. The last dog, I have to say, I was at fault for bringing the dog into the house. We had him for 13, 14 years. But I brought him into the house with all the intention I was going to look after him.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, my parents looked after him.
I
was out gallivanting and not looking after the dog, and it was my parents got up in the morning, fed him, cleaned up after him, made sure he was warm, yeah, and so forth. And when I got married and had my own children, both myself and my wife took the view we were not going to get a pet unless, yeah, the children were going to look after it themselves. We personally, yeah, didn't want a pet, although I have to say I love dogs, I love cats, yeah, I love animals in general, but I didn't want the responsibility of looking after a pet. And right up till my middle child was 21, we never had, yeah, a pet.
Yeah.
And then he was given a tortoise for his birthday. And, yeah, guess who's looking after the tortoise?
Michael.
Yeah, well, my wife as well. But, yeah, you know, a dog will live for, you know, 10 to 17, 18 years. A cat,
exactly,
probably,
yeah,
around that as well. A tortoise, yeah, yeah, between 50 and 90.
Exactly, yeah. You went to the other end of the spectrum.
Exactly. Just payback. But my point here being, a pet has to be considered another member of the family.
Oh, totally and utterly. Like, even for going away, you know, during your summer holidays, you have to think of all these things in advance, like, where will the dog go? Do we have a relation he can stay with? Would he be happy in kennels? Like, it is, as you say, it's exactly like, basically, adoption, taking on a new family member, and all areas of your life change. And, like, most of them are for the positive. You know, the dog will get you up and out and act, but you don't have the freedom you would have if you don't have a pet, because just like children, they totally and utterly rely on you to give them everything that they need. And like, that's your job when you doctor take on a dog, to give them everything that they need.
Yes, I a friend of mine's wife out in Malahide, Portmarnock, Miriam, if she's listening in, hello Miriam. She is a big dog walker. She very fond of her animals.
Yeah.
But I think as it's this time of year, yeah, and as it, you know, I think it's about 75% of all abandoned dogs occur in the 3 months after Christmas. Could you give us some idea, what should we be considering when we're looking at getting a pet or a dog?
I think, as we said already, lifetime commitment. The average dog lives for 13 years, but that really depends on the breed of dog. The smaller the dog, usually, the longer they live. Like, you can see little Jack Russells who can live up to 19, 20 years of age. They're not cheap, obviously. They could cost up to about €10,000 of their lifetime. And again, that depends on the size of the dog. The larger the dog, the more expensive, you know, food and stuff like that. And I think people need to take into consideration that puppies can be extremely hard work. If you've had a dog and they're 13 or 14 and they've passed on, and a few months later you consider getting a puppy, you can forget what those initial few months were like. And they're really hard work, especially around Christmas if you're preparing food and the puppy pees or poops on the floor. It's a stressful time of year, and you might not have the time or the patience to be teaching a puppy how to become toilet trained. They can also cause a little bit of damage, maybe initially when they're chewing, and if you've got an expensive gift or your son's gotten an Xbox or something for Christmas, and the puppy's not going to know that he shouldn't be eating the wire. So again, it's not the ideal time of year. And also, Christmas can be quite hectic with people coming and going from houses, and you know, children are quite excited on Christmas Day and for the days afterwards, they've got new toys, so there's lots of noise and excitement, and it's just really not an ideal time of year to be bringing a new family member, as you put yourself, into the house.
And I take it you would be saying to someone, well, if you're thinking of getting a dog, don't get it at Christmas. You know, wait till maybe 3 or 4 months after Christmas and then start to consider your options.
Exactly. If it's something that you're really interested in, is to spend some time researching it. If you want to get involved in volunteering at Dog Trust, or if you wanted to foster a dog, or even mind a relative dog, you know, if they're going away, or just basically spend time around dogs and just give it serious consideration to the commitment that's involved. Can you give up one evening a week to go to dog training classes? Will you get up every morning to go for a walk before you go to work? Can you come home at lunchtime? All that type of stuff. And if it's something that you're still serious about, then definitely pop into Dogs Trust in the new year.
So, Karina, thank you very much for talking to us today. But would you just go through where any of our listeners can contact Dogs Trust, get more information, how they can support you?
Yeah, sure. Most of the information is on our website. That's dogstrust.ie. And you can also pop into our rehoming centre in Finglas. We're just off Exit 5 near Coldwinters in Finglas. And we're open every day except for Tuesday. And we're open from the hours of 12 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've got a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and you can contact us on Twitter as well.
Karina, thank you very much. Have a great day. And hopefully this year people will start to consider a little bit more before they buy that puppy as a present.
Thank you so much, Michael. That's our Christmas wish this year. Thank you so much for having us on.
That was Encore for this week. Encore will be back at the same time here on Near FM. That's 4 p.m. next Sunday afternoon. Have a terrific week. Bye-bye.